All right. I'm going to tell you about my first year out of dental school. I'm going to tell you what it was like. I'm going to tell you how much I got paid. I'm going to tell you about my first job. Then we're going to look at the 6 most common questions I get asked by other dentists. And then lastly, I'm going to show you the biggest mistake that dentists make and how we can avoid that mistake. My name is Chris. I'm a dentist. I've worked as an associate. I've worked for corporate and I've owned my own practice. I now help dentists navigate the process from associate to owner. So let's get started. When I graduated from dental school, I worked as an associate for 1 year. The first job I took out of school actually didn't work out. I only stayed there for about a month and then I found another job and it wasn't a big deal at all. Finding a job as a dentist is extremely easy. There's a shortage of dentists in this country. Like everyone has teeth and there's just not enough dentists. So you will always be able to find a job as a dentist. It's easy. I can't imagine if you were like a software engineer. I've heard software engineers, sometimes it takes them 6 months to a year to find a job because it's so competitive. As a dentist, if you look, you can probably find a job within a week or two. Like it's super easy to find a job as a dentist. So the first place I started out, there were 2 other dentists there and they were very controlling. Don't get me wrong. These dentists were incredible dentists. Between the 2 of them, they were producing $5 million per year. And this was all like bread and butter dentistry. They were just doing a lot of crowns, a lot of fillings, you know, some veneers and, you know, restoring some implants, but they weren't doing anything crazy. They weren't doing endo. They weren't placing implants. I don't even think they were doing Invisalign, maybe a case here or there, but you know, they were just doing dentistry. And because they had 5 hygienists and because they were doing 5 million, they thought, well, now it's time we bring on a 3rd dentist. But when I came, they weren't willing to share treatment with me. And I was like, this isn't worth it. So I went and found another job. The second job I found was with a clinic that was seeing Medicaid patients. And honestly, it was a great experience. I would not want to do it again right now. When you see Medicaid patients, you're going to be doing a lot of work and you're not going to be getting paid that much. But overall, like seeing that many patients, I really learned how to be efficient and how to work fast and how to not waste time in between patients. And it was for that reason, it was a good experience. I didn't make a crazy amount of money my first year out of school, but I did fine. I think I made about $175,000 my first year out of school. And, you know, that was me working 5 days a week and working really hard to make that money. Luckily, I kept my expenses low first coming out of school. I didn't buy a new car or a big house or anything. And so I was actually able to save up about $100,000 out of that $175,000 during my first year out of school. And that actually became super helpful when I went to buy a practice because the banks, they like to see that you have at least $50,000, sometimes $75,000 saved up. You don't have to use that money as a down payment, but they just want to see that you have the money and that you're responsible enough and that you have an emergency fund in case, you know, something ends up taking longer than expected or you have a problem with payroll or whatever. They want to see that you have, you know, some finances that are there as an emergency fund. So honestly, if I was doing it again, I would not even try to work for a private practice coming out of school. I would go straight for a DSO like Aspen, Heartland, or Pacific. A place like that, you're going to be able to get a lot of experience. It's not going to be the type of job you're going to want to have forever. I have another video where I talked about it, but when you work for a DSO, you're not treated with very much respect. It's not going to be an amazing experience. You're not going to enjoy it the way that you will when you're an owner. It's, you know, it's not always going to be fun, but you're going to get to see a lot of patients, and that's what you need your first year out of school. You want to make sure that you're seeing a lot of patients and that you're doing a lot of different type of procedures. I'd be careful about working at a place like Affordable Dentures and Implants, for instance, during your first year out of school. You want to make sure you're doing a variety of procedures, just learning as much as you can, getting your skill set down. So a DSO that's doing general dentistry is probably the best place to be for the first year. But 1 year, I would not stay more than a year. Like 1 year is enough time to learn everything you're going to need to learn. Honestly, 6 months is probably enough. Get your skills up, learn how to work fast, and then you need to get out of there and buy a practice. So I worked for 1 year before I bought my first practice. And honestly, I think that is about perfect. I would not want to wait much longer than that because every day you work as an associate, you're making so much less than you could be making as an owner. It's just not worth your time to be working as an associate. You're going to learn everything you need to learn in 6 months to 12 months. And after that, your learning is going to start to plateau And I know dentists who have been working as associates for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And like, I know more about business than they do. And I know dentists who worked as an associate for like 8, 9, 10 years before they bought their practice. And when I bought my practice 1 year out of school, I knew just as much as they did. Working longer as an associate is not going to teach you the skills you need to be an owner. The only way to learn the business skills that you need to be an owner is by being an owner. You just have to jump in. You have to get started. Now, don't think that as soon as you decide you want to be an owner that you're instantly going to be able to be an owner. It can take a long time to find a practice to buy. I would start looking right now. If you're in dental school, you can already start reaching out to brokers and just getting information and start looking at practices. If you're already working as a dentist, you definitely should be in contact with every practice broker in the area that you want to live in. Start reaching out to the supply reps, reach out to other dentists, let people know that you're interested in buying so that when a practice comes for sale, they know to reach out to you and let you know. You can't control when a practice is going to come to market. You just have to be available, you have to be ready, and you have to find out about it. Also, the first few practices you look at are probably not going to be the practices you buy. You need to get practice looking at these different offices because you won't know the right office when it comes around if you haven't already been looking at offices. I looked at over 30 different practices before I bought my first practice, and I absolutely do not regret it. When you start looking at practices, you're going to have to gather a lot of information about those practices, and you're going to have to get good at looking at the numbers and deciding, hey, is this the type of practice that meets my criteria? You know, you need to get clear on what you're looking for in a practice, and then when you find a practice that meets your criteria, you need to jump on it because someone else is probably also looking for the same type of practice, and if you don't buy it right away, they're probably going to buy it before you. A big part of what I do is I help dentists get clear on what type of practice they want to buy. So even if you aren't sure yet you're ready to be an owner, I would say go ahead and reach out and I would love to chat with you and talk about what you're looking for in a practice and help steer you in the right direction. So when I bought my first practice 1 year out of school, I went from making about $750 a day as an associate to making about $3,000 a day as an owner. You're just going to be able to make a lot more money as an owner on average, especially if you buy the right practice. Once you get clear on what type of practice you're looking for, when you buy your first practice, you are going to be making so much more money than you're going to be making working as an associate or working at a corporate office. Make sure to reach out. My email's in the description if you'd like some help looking at practices. We want to make sure that you buy the right practice and not just any practice. I also wrote a book, the link's in the description, that walks through the steps of buying a practice, and I tried to put everything in there to be as detailed as possible to help through the process. So I get quite a few emails, both from D4 dental students and dentists who are starting out, and these are the top 6 questions that I get. I've had a lot of people asking, does it make sense to do a GPR, a general practice residency? Short answer, no. There's no way I would do a general practice residency. If I was going to do a residency, I would at least want to end up as an oral surgeon or an endodontist or an orthodontist or something. Like, you don't need a general practice residency. The only time it makes sense to do a GPR is if you're in a state and you absolutely have to live in that state starting out that requires it. I think like New York and Delaware maybe require it. But the thing is, they also let you start working in those states once you've had experience working for a few years. So I would just move to another state for a little while, work there, and then move home once you're able to start working there without a GPR. You're going to learn so much more if you get out and actually get a job and start working than if you just stay in school for another year. Get a job at a DSO like Aspen or Heartland. Not only will you get so much more experience by working on actual patients, and instead of seeing 2 to 3 patients a day, seeing 30, 40 patients a day, but also a lot of these DSOs offer free CE because like they want you placing implants at their practices. So they will pay for you to do the CE necessary to learn implants. Like, don't think that you have to stop learning once you leave school. You can get a job and keep learning while you're at your job. If you stay in school longer, it's just going to delay the time necessary to where you can buy your own practice. Like, your number one goal as a dentist is to buy a practice. Anything like a GPR or an AEGD that's going to delay your time getting into ownership is absolutely not worth it. All right, second question I get is, there are a lot of dentists who are still in school and they're worried about lining up a job before they graduate. Why? That's a waste of your time. Enjoy your D4 year. There's no rush. It is so easy to find a job as a dentist. Once you graduate, it's going to take a while for you to get your license. That's going to be plenty of time to apply for jobs. There's absolutely no rush. Trying to get a job before you get out of school, you're not even going to know what you're looking for yet. It's a waste of your time. Just enjoy your time in school. And then once you're finished, you can start looking for a job. Third question I get is, how do I manage the process of getting my first job? And so the main thing you want to keep in mind is you need to always negotiate. For a lot of new dentists, they have never had an actual job. You know, you've been in high school, you go to college, you go to dental school, and maybe you have a part-time job while you're in school, but you've never had a real job. So this is going to be your first real job. And the thing you need to understand is whenever you have a job offer, they are going to offer you lower than they actually expect to pay you. To be clear, I don't like this. I wish jobs just posted, this is the amount you're going to be paid, and that's what it is. But the reality is, employers always offer lower than they're willing to pay. Most dentist jobs are going to have two aspects to the pay. Number one, there's going to be a daily minimum. And number two, there's going to be some sort of percentage, whether it's a percentage of production, percentage of collections, percentage of total office production. Now, it's going to change based on what part of the country you're in, the daily minimums, but I wouldn't take a daily minimum less than $1,000 a day. And if you're in like a larger city, that's probably more like $1,500. They're going to tell you, oh, well, we've never given a daily minimum that large before. I don't think we can do that. That's all BS. These corporate DSO offices, they've invested a lot of money into these practices. And when they don't have a dentist in those practices running it, they are losing money every single day. They want you, they need you to come work there, and they are going to be willing to pay you if you negotiate with them. Now, the second part of your pay is going to be some sort of percentage of production. Generally, a pretty fair number to aim for is about 35% of your production. I've seen dentists make as much as 40, 42%, but I've also seen dentists take as low as 25%. Don't do that. 35% is a good number. I wouldn't go any lower than that. If they give you pushback on the percentage, offer that if you're producing less than $2,000 a day, you'll take 35%. And if you produce more than $5,000 a day, you want 40%. You know, some sort of like step scaled system can often be helpful in negotiating a higher percentage if they're willing to do that. But the key is just you want at least 35%. Don't go too much lower than that. You as a dentist are extremely valuable. You're in demand. You have gone to dental school. You've earned these credentials. Don't let these DSOs or associate jobs, don't let them take advantage of you. Know your worth and go into the negotiations knowing that you're valuable. The next thing a lot of dentists are worried about is student loans. Dentists have the most student loans of any other profession. Dental school is literally the most expensive school that exists. Unless you were extremely lucky, you're probably going to have a lot of loans coming out of dental school. If you are working as an associate and making $175,000 a year, a third of your money goes to taxes, and then a third of your money goes to student loans, you're not going to be left over with that much. I've heard some dentists say, well, I don't want to be a practice owner until I get my student loans paid off. That is probably the dumbest thing that you could think or say. You're going to be making so much more money as an owner. Once you're an owner, it's easy to pay off your loans. As an associate, it's basically impossible to pay off your loans. Let's say the average dentist, they need $100,000 a year to meet their living expenses, and you're making $175,000 as an associate. Once you pay off your taxes, you're down to $140,000, $135,000, and your expenses are $100,000 a year. That means you've got like $35,000 left over to pay off your student loans. But what if your student loan payments are $50,000 a year or more? It doesn't make sense to try to work as an associate and pay off your student loans. Once you become an owner and you're making $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year or more, paying off the student loans is going to be so much easier. It's still going to be a significant chunk of change to pay off these loans. But when you're making $500,000 a year, say $100,000 of that goes to taxes, $100,000 in living expenses, you now have $300,000 left over that you can use, part of which to pay off your student loans, part of which to put into a retirement account, and then have some extra money to do something you enjoy. My advice is, as soon as you graduate from school, put your student loans on income-based repayment. If you're not familiar with how it works, basically you pay a percentage of your income goes towards paying your student loans. But the key is that your income is only recalculated once a year. And when you first graduate, sometimes they don't even ask you to recalculate it for like 2 years after you graduate. It's just going to depend on the situation and when you sign up. But you can just put $0 of income, because when you were in dental school, you had $0 of income. So if you apply for income-based repayment before you get your first job, you're going to have $0 payments. And you might be able to keep those $0 payments for a year, 2 years, maybe more. Use this time to take the money that you would have been putting towards your student loans and put it into a savings account. Build up an emergency fund. This way you have some savings so that when you transition into ownership, if there's a few months where for whatever reason you don't have an income, you're not working yet, the things take longer than expected, you have some money saved up to support you through that time. You want to have the confidence to where you can leave that associate job and know that, hey, I have $100,000 in the bank and I could go a year or more without working and I'll be just fine. Chances are that's not going to happen, but having that money saved up is going to give you that extra bit of confidence. Now, also banks, when you go to get a practice loan, they like to see that you are the type who has some money saved up, that you have an emergency fund. They're not going to ask you to put a down payment because they'll finance 100%, if not 110, 120% of the purchase price, but they do want to see that you have some money in the bank. So I would say try to get at least 50 to 75% saved up when you're working as an associate, so that it makes it that much easier to become an owner. Then once you're an owner and once your practice is established and you're making substantially more money than you're making as an associate, that's the time where you can pay those student loans off. Next question I get is, how long should I work before I become an owner? 1 year. There's no reason to do any more than 1 year. And truth is, any longer you wait, you're just going to waste your time and you're going to be losing opportunity costs and you're not going to be making the kind of money and you're not going to have the kind of freedom that you could if you just started your business. The first year out of school is all about getting your speed up and feeling confident. But once you've done that, become an owner. You're not going to learn how to become an owner by working as an associate. The only way you're going to learn this is if you get started. Finally, I get asked, when and how do I start looking for practices? Right now. Just start looking. I don't care if you've been working for a year. I don't care if you've been working for 3 years. Like, whatever your situation is, now is the best time to get started looking for a practice. It might take 6 months. It might take a year. It might take 2 years till you actually find the practice that you want to buy. So you want to get started right now. All right. So last thing is, what is the biggest mistake that I see dentists make? It's not that they didn't put enough bond on their filling or forgot to use some cement on their crown or something. The biggest mistake that dentists make is they work too long as an associate. Working any more than 1 year as an associate is not going to help you become an owner. You're not going to learn anything in your second or third or fourth year as an associate that you haven't already learned in your first year. Your learning has plateaued. It's time to move on and buy a practice. Every year that you delay, you are losing out on money and you're building up someone else's business. Not only are you making less money per year, but every year that you own a practice, you are building equity in a business that you're later going to be able to sell at a profit. When you're working at someone else's business, you are building up their business so that they can have more equity in their business. Why? You are a dentist. You know what to do. You are in control. You need to own your own business, build this business up for yourself so that you can later sell it at a profit that you will get to keep. When you leave an associate job, you don't get to keep anything. When you leave a job as an owner, you get to sell a business that's worth potentially $1 million or more. Stop wasting your time building up someone else's business and get to work on your own future. Your first year out of school is all about getting ready to be a practice owner. It's about building your skill set, getting faster, and saving up that $50,000 to $75,000. Once you've got the money saved up, once you're comfortable seeing patients at a faster rate, you need to just buy a practice. Start reaching out to practice brokers, talk to dentists, just find a practice, buy it, get started today. Reach out. I would love to help you. It is time to buy a practice.